Hello and welcome. This talk is about the unique status of all true Christians, that is, spirit-filled people, in the body of Christ. The Bible teaches absolute equality under Jesus Christ. All members of the body of Christ, that is the true church, are one in Christ Jesus. We turn to Galatians 3 and verse 22 to read the following. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Jesus Christ came to die for all, because we're all born into sin and all subject to death. Regardless of our social status, our race or nationality, whether we're rich or poor, simple, intelligent, strong, weak, popular, unpopular, and so on. The gospel message is for everyone. It's universal. It brings equal opportunity to all. It establishes a level playing field. John the Baptist quoted the prophet Isaiah regarding this very fact, as we read in Luke 3, verses 4 to 6. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. So we see the lowly and downtrodden being brought up, and the high and mighty being brought low. Everyone is brought to the one equal level. When the Apostle Peter came to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, he stated the following in Acts 10, verses 34 to 35. Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. No matter who and what we are, if we are prepared to respect the word of God and do the right thing by following God's commands, God will accept us. We note that it's our acceptability before God that counts, not whether men accept us or not. Our respect for God should lead us to obedience to the commands of God. We should get baptized in water with a view to having our sins remitted, and we then should earnestly call upon the name of the Lord to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is mentioned in Acts chapter 2, verse 37 to 40. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now, having been baptized in water and the Holy Spirit, we have an immediate new standing with God, as we read in Galatians 3, verses 26 to 29. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What a wonderful plan God has for all of us. What amazing promises. He takes us from our state of hopelessness and mortality and opens up life and immortality through Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what our background has been, no matter where we come from. He wipes our background and old life totally clean, as we read in Romans 6 and verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And in verses 7 through to 11, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in Colossians 3 verse 3, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. We no longer live as the old person. We're now baptized, inwardly immersed into Jesus Christ. Our old lives are hidden, they're discarded in Christ. Jesus dealt with this on the cross at Calvary. He took our old life of sin and nailed it to the cross. When we were baptized in water, we were baptized with him. We became associated with his mighty act at Calvary. When we were baptized with the Holy Spirit, we were raised up into newness of life. We became associated with his resurrection, being raised by the power of God. We read in Romans 8, verses 10 to 11, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. The Holy Spirit imparts new life in us. He quickens, that means he enlivens, he energizes us. We read further in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Yes, all things are become new. New life, new status, new priorities, new personality, new opportunities, new outlook, new future, and all in Christ. Jesus paid the price for our sins, our transgression, and incompatibility with God. Through the amazing grace of God, our Lord and Saviour came to this earth in the lowliest estate. He wasn't born into privilege, wealth, and grandeur. He was born in a stable. The mighty King became a man and chose to be born in a place reserved only for use by animals. What a humble way to reach us. What a Saviour. The humility of Christ is described further in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Oh, the riches of the grace of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. We need to be mindful of these things because as natural, carnal people, we have a tendency to respect the higher class and the rich and look down on the poor. It's a human trait to organize society into classes and castes. That's how the world works, but not so in the body of Christ. The true church of Jesus Christ, the true family of believers, where there is only one class, all are first class. There is no hierarchy and no separate class system. This is the true church of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul warned Timothy, as we read in 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 to 19. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. We conclude in Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 6. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. All members of the body of Christ, that is the true church, are one in Christ Jesus.